York Jets play here. Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 5th. Yes, we are finally made it to the month of December. It's the last month of 2020, and as soon as we're done with December, we can forget about that terrible year of 2020. Everything was in focus, or wasn't in focus in 2020. And 2021 is looking to be a better year already. Holidays today, real quick, it's Bathtub Party Day. Bathtub Party Repeal Day. And you know what that means? That means, of course, the 21st Amendment ends prohibition. I'll drink to that. Okay, that's the big holiday today. Quick birthday today. The Dynamite Kid, Thomas Billington, would have been 62, but he unfortunately, he died on this day in 2018, and he born and was and died on the same day. So I thought that's the only reason I left it in there, because I don't usually like, you know, talking about people who are passed away or dad's birthday, but it's just that he was born and died on the same day. It's just really bizarre. So I wanted to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Flower City Fear, if you're into them, that's the men's team, FLOUR, flowercityfear.com. You can participate with them as well. Volunteer, get right of them an email, send them a message. Say, hey, I am the Cashman. I'm your humble host this week. I'm joined by the Rob Sanderson, the artiste. Hello, Mr. Artiste. How are you doing this morning? Oh, I think you're muted still, sir. I do it all the time. I know.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wide awake.
Well, you are wide awake, and you got Bills gear on. It's pretty cool.
Ready for that Monday night game and a whole month of games that aren't Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern. Kind of weird.
Yeah, I know. We're also joined from North Carolina, D.C., Dan Call.
Good morning.
Good morning, D.C. Danger Boy from Gates, New York. How you doing, Danger?
Oh. God, we have another one that's muted?
Yeah, Danger, are you muted, or is just something weird happening?
I'm glad me and you are being professional, Cash.
Oh, he's having some issues. Danger, you might want to reconnect. We've got, maybe I hear you now. Was that you? No. Well, we're joined by Furby as well. Furby joins us. He missed last week. Furby, how you doing? We kind of did hint that Furby had to have a procedure last week. If you listen to the show, you know I mentioned that. But if you didn't listen to the show, never mind. No. Furby, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm here. I'm alive and well. Keep things short and sweet this week. It's not too easy to talk, but I am present.
All right. And Danger, is that you yet, or am I?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. There you go, Danger.
Okay. Yeah, it's microphone issues, not connection issues this time.
Okay, cool. Well, we're all here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, as always, and we appreciate everybody listening. Man, there's a lot of things to talk about this past week in wrestling, to highlight some of what's been going on. But, I think where we'll start is probably the biggest surprise of the week was Winter is Coming is the theme for AEW's Dynamite this past Wednesday. And when they say winter is coming, it not only is winter coming, but Sting was following close behind, and also a title change by the end of the show. This is kind of show like where you're like, it's a shame that, I couldn't figure out the significance of why they were doing such a big show this past Wednesday, because if you know, because of everything that went on, that was a show you definitely didn't want to miss. But it was, and it was a great show by AEW, and we got to see find out Sting was signed, you know, right in the middle the end of a match. All of a sudden, everything went dark, and then it started snowing in the arena. And not only that, but we got Moxley and Omega, and Omega walks off with a belt. And the weirdest thing about that is that Don Callis from Impact Wrestling, who I think we saw last week as well, came in and announced and then helped Omega win the title. And then they ran off into a limo to get out of there. And they said, we'll see you on Impact this coming week. So it's like, I kind of love inter-promotional, matchups and things like that. So we don't know where it's going. But gosh darn it, what a packed show on Wednesday night. And believe me, we also had NXT going on at the same time. They're building up their pay-per-view for this weekend, which we will talk about later. But were you guys blown away as much? Artis, what'd you think, man? I mean, we had a lot going on this past Wednesday.
I don't know if I would say by far, but I'm going to say that was the best Dynamite they've done yet. I think from start to finish, it was just a solid show. I don't think many people really expected Sting. I think they did a really good job of kind of keeping that quiet, and obviously a good thing they did that with a live show and not a tape show. It's gotten so much hype that I think it's really cool to bring him in. I've never been like the big Sting mark, but I'm happy about it. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. We'll find out more next week. But for me, the title change and the way they went about the title change was awesome. I mean, I wanted to see that title change, but I don't think anybody saw that coming. I don't think they saw the Don Callis helping and the running off. And I watched that last 5 minutes or so of the show back a few times already. And I just think it was really well done. You can tell that they built it up by having Callis on, you know, in previous, was that at the pay-per-view they had him on?
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, you mentioned it's kind of strange to do it on a Dynamite, but I think you have to do that, especially with a company that only has 4 pay-per-views a year. Their next pay-per-view is still 12 weeks from today. So, you know, they built it up that it was going to be one of those kind of special edition ones, kind of like what NXT does sometimes. And I just think it was an absolute home run. And I'm really curious to see what happens Tuesday. I can't wait to see what they do with the Omega character. And I think Moxley still looks strong. I mean, Moxley lost to a hard microphone shot to the forehead, 4 V-triggers, and a one-winged angel. So he's going to be fine. And I just, props to the whole crew. I thought it was awesome.
DC, you have thoughts about that show Wednesday night?
I mean, yeah, I'm going to echo much of what the artiste said. I'll try not to repeat too much, but yeah, solid show from start to finish. Loved the way they brought in Sting. And the finish to that Omega match, it's been in the air, you know, him going heel, and you wondered, you know, how it was going to happen. And, you know, having him align with Don Callis like that and to underhandedly, you know, take the title away from Mox was brilliant. And then the whole runoff and, oh, if you want an explanation, you have to tune into Impact on Tuesday. If you're a wrestling fan and you're not excited by what happened this week, I feel bad for you. Really, I do, because I don't remember the last time I've been this excited at what's to come.
How about you, Danger?
I'm going to agree with the Sting stuff. Sting was one of my favorite. I watched a lot more WCW than most of the people on here growing up. So Sting was one of my favorites from the time I was a kid till current times. And I loved it when he did the crow stuff, and I thought that it was very well done. I loved the fact that they're going to do the team up with Impact. I thought the ending of the match was absolute garbage. You have a guy who's done barbed wire, all this kind of stuff, and he falls victim. First off, they did the V-trigger about 900 times in the match, and I know that's a Kenny Omega thing. It's way overdone, and half of them look terrible. And I also think that him taking a microphone shot, and that's what does him in after everything else he's done so far in that company, is terrible. That being said, I love the Don Callis stuff. The match lost me when Kenny Omega fell off the top rope in the spot where he was supposed to hurt his eye, and then they had to redo it with the DDT, which didn't actually hit his eye anywhere near the edge of the heater. So the match lost me. The match, I didn't like the match at all. I like the angle at the end. I like them teaming up with Impact. I think with some of the teasing we've seen, we might get to see an interpromotional Bullet Club type deal. But, and I like Kenny Omega being the champion. I like what they've done with that. I think it's too early because they had just started him on his singles push. They did the Adam Page or the Hangman Page stuff. But to do the whole thing with one microphone shot, I don't like it. I hate it.
Hey,
especially with the way they've done.
He bled, you know. I mean, he did bleed from that shot. You know, that was the first thing we saw was him, you know.
He DDT'd Kenny Omega through a plate glass table at one point, and he's going to lose his title to a shot with a microphone.
Firms, it's up to you,
a
buddy.
A shot with a microphone, four V-triggers, and a one-winged angel.
Yeah, it's true.
Which nobody's ever kicked out of.
Yeah. Furby, it's up to you, man. What'd you think?
Yeah, I agree, actually, kind of more along the lines of Danger on this one. I was definitely shocked about Sting. I thought that was pretty cool. I was kind of excited for that. But as far as the whole main event Omega deal, I was a little bit more disappointed in the result of the not the result of the match, but kind of how it got there. I'm glad, though, that they did further the building of him being a heel with the ending and running off with the title. I did like that.
Cool. I was going
to
say,
I definitely get what Danger's saying about, like, the, you know, he's gone through all these wars, Moxley has. And I think I've been a little critical of Moxley because most of his matches have been those insane matches, like what he had with Omega before, like what he had with Brody at Double or Nothing. You know, he's had a lot of those really hardcore matches, but I needed to see from him an actual wrestling main event match that didn't have a ton of that. I agree. If somebody can withstand all that stuff before, how is this, you know, going to be enough? But I just think the way they pulled it off, like, it's okay. Because the only other option there is they go through an absolute hardcore war with six burning barbed wire tables and stuff. I just don't need that, especially on TNT. So I like the way they pulled that off. The only thing I'll say, like a really, really small note, I don't like that Eddie Kingston popped on commentary for 3 seconds as they were going off the air.
Yeah, that made no sense.
That was bad. So stupid. And like, I'm ecstatic about the match that's happening next week where we're finally going to see Lance Archer and Andy Williams tie up in that six-man tag. But, like, that was not – like, that's the biggest ending to Dynamite you've had since at least the first episode, if not overall. You did not need that at all. Like, that, that was –
Yeah, it kind of felt like they were undermining the finish.
Yeah.
And I'll real quick, I'll play devil's advocate too, and I'll kind of support Danger a little bit here. We talked about it a couple weeks ago where we said, you know, this is a match that needs to be saved for a pay-per-view. This is a pay-per-view caliber match, but like the artiste alluded to, even back then, currently we're 12 weeks away. So this is in no means the blow off or the end of this. This is setting the table. This is just the beginning.
Well, and I think if it was a, if this was a regular title change and there wasn't like a heel turn in it and a double, whatever you want to say, you know, Don Callis getting involved in all this, like there was so much more to this story that I don't think that had to wait. I kind of like that it happened soon. Like I was of that same mindset of like, they're not doing enough to push like this Omega storyline yet. Why are we already doing the match? Like maybe you didn't need to have the match yet, but the fact that they decided, okay, we're going to have the match December 2nd, like I'm fine with them doing the result they did at this point. They could have held that off a little longer. Yeah. But I like you said, 12 weeks away, that's a very long time. You can't wait that long. And it kind of added to the surprise that it did happen so suddenly. Cause I don't think nobody expected it to happen the way that it did. Maybe some people thought there would be that title change, but nobody saw the Don Callis thing coming. That part I loved. And I don't know if you're going to do that kind of turn, you're going to involve Don Callis and Impact and all this stuff. Like, what else could you have done for a finish while still keeping that involved too? Like Don Callis is going to throw somebody off the top of the entry. I don't know. Like, I think it worked. I really liked it. So I'm very excited to see what happens. And I think this is, especially for those of us that are so down on WWE these days, this is really exciting to see what happens with companies getting involved, working together. I can't wait to watch Impact. I'm a little curious if, like, most of Impact's already taped and this is going to be some kind of studio thing or what they're going to actually do Tuesday. But there are so many possibilities out there with other independent promotions, with, sure, who knows, Ring of Honor, New Japan. I mean, even Triple H was asked about it the other night. So there are so many possibilities. Who knows? I don't think this will necessarily benefit AEW as much as it'll benefit Impact, but that helps everybody.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting time.
I will say, we were kind of critical of them building up this match between Mox and Omega, and it makes sense now why they had the signing the week before or 2 weeks before that, and then the jumping and whatnot. It makes a lot of sense where they're going, and I'm just excited about the possibilities of who from Impact could possibly wrestle guys from AEW. And Impact, you know, if you haven't seen Impact in a while, folks, there is a lot of talent on that roster right now. They just spent a lot of money for, the good boys, they're good brothers, whatever. And, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of talent. Eric Young's there. He's kind of, treading water right now. So who knows what kind of, we could probably get a super pay-per-view out of this. Wouldn't be surprised.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, especially too, they already have that NWA relationship as well.
And people have already started teasing stuff. Sami Callihan alluding to teaming back up with Mox. You've had FTR saying they want to face the North. Again, if you're not excited right now, check your pulse.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I heard also FTR and Motor City Machine Guns too. So there's been talk about that. And which would be,
and
very,
we've talked so much about Kenny Omega, like, over the years. Obviously, he was number one ranked in 2018 in the world and stuff. But up until this point, regardless of the long tag title run and everything else, it's been kind of meh. He's just been this, like, mediocre guy that they're like, well, we're not going to really, really push him because he's an EVP and we don't want that look and blah, blah, blah. Whatever the case is, he was just like generic babyface number four. And, like, now we're getting what we want. Like, this is, and we've only seen, like, page one of this book. And I can't wait to see how this character evolves, because if you've seen the cleaner stuff in the past, I don't think he's going to go back and do all the same things he's done before. But there's so many possibilities for where this goes that it's going to be much more interesting than the Kenny Omega you saw over year one of AEW.
Cool. On that note, we're going to take a break. We went a little long in this segment. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
This is the Stinger from World Championship Wrestling, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Hot Talk 1280 WHTK. It's showtime, folks!
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We're on Fox Sports 1280 Sting, but I have to get a new one from him, but it's fun to come back with the ID and a little Alexa Bliss music. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with Danger Boy, Furby, DC Dan Cole, and Rob Sanderson, the artiste, and you, and we thank you so much. And I wonder what you guys thought about that, this big week for Impact Wrestling. It was very exciting, and it just leaves a potential of so many different things. And one of the cool things, and I saw it in part of the news, is Khan there, Tony Khan, hinted that we're going to see Brody Lee back too, sooner than later. So obviously there has been rumors floating around that Brody Lee hurt his ankle during that strap match, and obviously not seeing him for as many weeks as we have, but someone asked him about it when he was doing a press conference, and he said we should see him back soon. So that's a good sign. I'd love to see him involved in this AEW Impact Wrestling crossover, and which is, we did mention, you guys mentioned briefly before we went to break, that it could be other super indies and stuff. Like, we could get the NWA Power, crossover, as well as Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor doing TV taping, and actually got a pay-per-view set up coming up real soon. But just think about this. EC3 working for Ring of Honor could be finally, there's been so many people talking about how they kind of screwed up and didn't sign with AEW, and they wish they had. Good Brothers, I think, have a little bit of regret. Maybe EC3. So we'll get to see them now if there's these guys are working in conjunction. And you remember Danger, you'll remember this, when TNA, Impact, and Ring of Honor were working together for a while. We got to see a lot of crossover guys, and then something happened in Ring of Honor, and they kind of drew a line and said, you're either them or us, and they lost that working...
I think it was a former employee of Ring of Honor having some charges brought against him at one point.
Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah. The one who got caught on Chris Harrison, Don't Be Going to 12-Year-Olds Houses show.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you know what I'm talking about, look it up. You'll find it. But I just think I'm really excited about that, and it was just... Kind of felt it was a special night on that show, and it definitely was. If you missed it, definitely go back and try to find it and watch it again. But that being said, we got a lot of things to talk about. I do want to mention, too, about the passing of pro wrestling legend Pat Patterson. He passed away this past Wednesday at the age of 79. He was hospitalized. He was battling cancer prior to his death. And it was a real sad time because Pat Patterson was very involved in how the modern day of how modern wrestling is. You know, his foresight and vision helped with the business in general. And across every company, people had nice things to say. I remember as a kid growing up, Pat was always, he was an announcer when I first remember him, but he was, you know, a wrestler/announcer. And he would elevate feuds like him and King Kong Mosca, probably one of the most violent feuds I ever saw as a kid on a Sunday night TV show at 7 p.m. When King Kong Mosca grabbed a metal vase and bashed Pat Patterson over the head until he bled profusely on Sunday night TV. And Pat Patterson, of course, would come back and get revenge for that. But he wrestled a lot of times. You can't forget his boot camp match with Sergeant Slaughter from Madison Square Gardens, where they painted the canvas red. And if you ever go back and look at it, I think it's like 1981, 80, 81.
Yeah, I think it's 81.
Go back and watch it. This is the origins of extreme wrestling, I think. But it was a sad loss. A man who, you know, my favorite pay-per-view is the Royal Rumble. This is the man who envisioned it and made it happen. You guys have any thoughts on the passing of Pat Patterson this past week?
You forgot he was also the inaugural Intercontinental Champion, winning the belt in a tournament in Rio de Janeiro.
That's right. That's right. At least it was on paper it said that. But anyone?
Yes.
Danger, you have any thoughts about Pat Patterson?
Well, it's a huge loss. I mean, a lot of people my age remember him more for his time as one of the Stooges, which was always entertaining. Last year, I think he became the oldest ever title holder in WWE when he won the 24/7 title. And like you said, huge, huge fingerprint over the business. And we all love the Royal Rumble. We always get together for it. We always watch it. We love it every year. Everyone loves it every year. And he's the reason we have that. So even if you didn't get to watch him wrestle, which I didn't get to see much of his stuff because it was all a lot before I was alive. But that's dating myself because now I sound like Furby. But
you're dating yourself. But, is that possible? No. No,
but
I do want to mention one thing. Yeah. I do want to mention one thing. He also helped a lot of careers of guys who we're getting now, like Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, a lot of guys from the Montreal area. He would take under his wing and he would mentor them. And Artis, do you have any thoughts on Pat Patterson?
Pretty much what Danger said. I mean, I still have not seen that many of his matches, but his influence is over everything. And you can tell from what everybody said, this week, like specifically you mentioned Sami Zayn, his little tribute to him on Instagram and Twitter was awesome, that Sami Zayn wins the NXT title and Patterson's about to go out to celebrate in the ring. And they said, Pat, you can't go out there. And he said, try to F and stop me.
Yeah.
And then there's all these pictures of him, just the smiliest guy in the ring celebrating Sami Zayn's NXT title win. Like, that's just so cool for a guy like that who's been around for forever. It's certainly so many of those Stooges segments were a big part of like my childhood watching wrestling and stuff. But Royal Rumble is my favorite pay-per-view as well. And that's a big loss. So I think you could see from every tribute, I mean, he had such a big role in the finishes to so many big, I mean, WrestleMania main events and everything. And you think of like crazy endings to matches, it was probably Pat Patterson that came up with that finish. So it's a big loss.
not only is, you know, Cash's contributions to wrestling, and, you know, I'm going to echo what everybody else has said, Royal Rumble, greatest event of all time. You can make the case for WrestleMania being a spectacle, but if you want to talk the most excitement every year for us, it's watching the Rumble. It also helps that we're degenerate gamblers and, you know, we can bet on it. But still, it's the one thing you circle on your calendar every year that you're never going to miss. And outside of wrestling, too, you know, I think it needs to be said his legacy for, you know, being openly gay, particularly in the world of sports and the world of professional wrestling. I mean, and he came out, I want to say, like in the early 70s. Which, if you think about it now, with still some pro athletes, you know, and some people still being afraid to be openly out like that. I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah, it was nice to see Jake Atlas, who's another openly gay wrestler, dedicate his match yesterday to him, and they actually let him win and have a good match. But it's good they didn't straight up say that's the reason why, but they definitely alluded to why he dedicated the match to Pat.
Yeah, one other thing, too, is he still had his hand involved in every Royal Rumble. I mean, Vince would come to him and say, how should we do this? And he would step it all out for him, and he was still doing that. So hopefully we don't lose too much quality from it. Ferb, do you have any thoughts?
Actually, it's kind of weird how this all happened, because, one, I didn't know that he was sick, but the match that Artiste was talking about where Sami Zayn won the NXT title from Neville back in 2014. I'd actually been going back and watching all the NXT championship matches, and I had just come across that match actually on Tuesday. So it was kind of when I found out that he had passed on Wednesday, it was like, holy cow. I mean, I remember watching that firsthand, and then now all of a sudden I see this all going on and passing, and then Sami Zayn's tribute and his tweet. So it was kind of like, holy cow, how it all happened just like that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's and he will be missed. And I'm sure we're going to get plenty of tributes to him. We did last night. We did this past week on NXT. They had a nice but I'm sure on Friday night and Monday Night Raw, this is a guy that was very close to Vince McMahon as well. And he was close to, when Vince was an announcer, he was close to him. Vince wasn't booking the team, the show, wasn't booking the company. So Pat's always been, you know, one of his advisors. And yeah, he did the Stooge thing with Briscoe. I always thought that was pretty funny. That was funny stuff. You know, who can forget the line Jim Ross said, hey, fellas, he's single. You know, I mean, that one time he came out on stage and, you know, during, I think it was a Monday Night Raw, I think. So it was like, you know, but, you know, like you said, he was definitely out. And, you know, and that never came into play with anything. He was a tough son of a gun as a wrestler. He was, you know, I mean, honestly, if you go back and watch his matches, he was a good wrestler. And he always, yes, he would come down to punching eventually and stuff like that. But he was a good solid hand, and always put on a great show. And on that note, we went a little long in the first segment. We're going to break here. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the Artiste, DC Dan Cole, Furby, and Danger Boy. And I'm back. I'm in New York. I'm in Rochester, New York, 16th floor, the KeyBank building. You guys are everywhere else but here. And thank you so much for listening. We're going to talk a little bit about NXT War Games. We get is this the third War Games that they've done, Danger?
I think it's their fourth.
Is it fourth?
Yeah, I think it's fourth.
We've got the fourth War Games going on, and so this is cool. Is it's a solitary NXT WWE show this Sunday night. It starts at 7 o'clock on the network. I'm guessing it'll be over kind of early again, maybe before 10. They've been really good at getting. That's one thing I appreciate about WWE is they've been getting done early with these pay per views, and you know they're not skimping out. They're just starting an hour early, which makes sense. You know, it helps. Definitely helps. But we've got the War Games going on. Great setup this past week. this past week, as well as the last few weeks for the main event, which is Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong versus Pat McAfee, Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch in the War Games match. I'm kind of excited about it. I don't know if they can top the War Games they did last year or the, even the year before. But man, they're going to try, I'm sure. I'm excited. You know, what do you guys think about the main event? I mean, that's, you know, it's, obviously a group that's been in there before, you know,
I'm actually really excited for War Games, to be honest. I think collectively in NXT, if you look at every single match on this card, the storytelling has been very, very well done over the last month and a half or so. They didn't really rush together and throw anything together. I mean, if you look down the line, I mean, Ciampa Thatcher, that's going to be a hell of a match. They, you know, they had the different run-ins on when, you know, Timothy Thatcher's been doing the coaching. You know, Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Lumis. You're running all the way back to Halloween Havoc with all that. So that's, I mean, that's a good month-long storyline right there. The whole triple threat for the North American title, obviously Leon Ruff. The good story there with Damian Priest and Gargano, that's been a running story. And finally, we're getting at least some lengthy storytelling rather than just let's put a throw a match together and then put it on a pay-per-view. And obviously the two War Games matches, which is obviously what the pay-per-view is based off of. And this is where you get your home run matches. I mean, I think you're going to see a hell of a match in the men's one, obviously Undisputed Era has been in the War Games, I think, at least three times, maybe all four.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to it.
I will say that you're right about that. Maybe that's why we didn't get the Survivor Series with NXT, because they were saving it for this weekend. Because it would have been thrown together if they put NXT in the Survivor Series, but. I agree, and it is a lot of matches that are being built up, and I mean, you know, Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, that's been going on, you know, since Halloween Havoc, and that's over a month, you know, and by the way, Cameron Grimes is slowly becoming one of my favorite wrestlers on NXT. I liked him when he was on Impact, okay, you know, but I really, what was he, Jake Lee, I think it was, or
Trevor Lee,
that's it, yeah. Because there's already a Trevor Lee, I think, in NXT when he came, or there's somebody Lee that they didn't want to confuse. But I just enjoy that his facial reactions tell a story, as well as, you know, he's obviously, you know, been doing this for a while. Probably should be up on the main roster, one of the other two rosters, telling stories as well. But you know that, and I've just enjoyed the build up, and you know, we get. Of course, the Undisputed Era, you know, now every time they've been in one of these, they were the bad guys. But I have a feeling they're going to get the face cheer this whole time. Danny, any thoughts on this?
Well, just real quick on your point, it doesn't matter if they're face or heel. They're over, you know, with the crowd. They always have been since day one. But, you know, aside from that War Games match, I mean, there isn't a whole lot that excites me. I'll be honest. I mean, I'm still looking forward to it because it's NXT, and if I'm going to watch anything WWE-related, it's only going to be NXT.
I have to say this. I want to jump in here, too, about the team that Undisputed Era is going to be facing. When they first got together, when McAfee kind of stepped in as, like, the henchman for Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, it kind of felt awkward, okay? Lorcan and Burch are these rough, tough, hard-nosed tag team that never really got over. Then they won the tag team championship. It was kind of like, oh, finally, they get their shot. And then it's like you throw a mouthpiece to them, a brash, cocky mouthpiece in Pat McAfee. And, like, I didn't really see where the pieces fit. And then you throw in the bruiserweight, Pete Dunne. And it's like, okay, you can kind of see some of the British connection with those three. But then now over the past 2-3 weeks or so, I mean, we always know that Pat's been talented on the mic, obviously, through his podcasts and, you know, even some of the early work he did with Adam Cole this past summer. But now it's really, even though sometimes the cadence may sound weird when he's cutting some of his promos, he's really done a great job of really creating himself as this wrestling character and almost making it feel real life, like how he is in real life. And he hasn't really had to change much. So it's kind of like, all right, I like where they're going with it, and especially since they're continuing that feud between him and Adam Cole.
I do. I agree with you on that. And also, one bizarre thing is Pat McAfee has got to be the biggest guy of the three in that, or the four there. He's a giant. You know, I can't believe the guy is a punter still. I say that every time I see him because he's a huge dude.
I think he might be the biggest guy in the group of the entire match.
I was literally just going to say that. Yeah. I think he's the biggest guy in the match.
I will say that, you know, I mean, having his own, you know, being a personality, having his own podcast, doing radio, working for WWE, it definitely, you know, I mean, he always had that, you know, if you ever listen to his podcast, you definitely know that he's kind of a cocky bastard. And, you know, it was great.
If you watched him punt, you knew he was a cocky bastard.
Yeah. True. I was gonna say, but when he came in with Lorcan and Birch and helped them win their titles the first time, it's like I only thought of good things. Yeah. So yeah, and that's gonna be an exciting match. But I mean, you know, I think it's gonna be a pretty solid card. I'm kind of excited. You know, Ciampa and Thatcher. I mean, those guys have been fighting back and forth for, you know, and Thatcher is I think he's a great hand. If you watch that guy wrestle, man, he really does everything good. And, you know, and you put him with a equally qualified guy, I can't wait to see that match as well. Loomis, I don't know what's going on with that guy. He's kind of creepy, but especially after they did that Halloween Havoc movie where he just, you know, he gets kind of like turned into like a Jason killer or whatever in it, you know. But it's going to be fun. It's this weekend, this Sunday night, and it's something we'll definitely talk about, the results. I mean, there's so much going on in the next few days that we're going to talk about in next week's show. Like, you know, what's going on, what happens on Impact Wrestling Tuesday night on Access TV. And if you don't have Access TV, it's Channel 97 on Time Warner, or I'm sorry, on Spectrum. And I think it costs a little bit extra, but I watch it every week. It's a great, they always do like a great, they had a great flashback last week of some guys who are in AEW now, wrestling guys from Impact Wrestling from about 10 years ago.
So, and you can get Impact as well on Twitch. So if you have any sort of smart streaming device, make yourself a Twitch account, and you can watch it on there as well. That's how I get it. And your host is Melissa Santos, so that's never a bad thing rather than watching some commercials.
See, of course, Ferb would have to say that. You know, Ferb, you...
Yeah. And those matches you saw, the throwbacks, especially the Young Bucks or Generation Me versus the Motor City Machine Guns, was done entirely on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of like a tease of what was going to happen, I guess, on AEW this week. So on that note, we're going to take a break, come back. We have some more news we want to talk about. We'll try to get through as much as we can of it. But you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. To the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with DC, Dan Cole, Furby, Danger Boy, and the Artiste, Rob Sanderson, and you. You guys getting tired of me playing this yet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to cut down the rotation on this.
Fine, but, bring back the Bella Twins theme.
It's better than Marty Skrull.
Oh, that's going to
the year be sad. So,
oh yeah, definitely got to watch out for that. But welcome back to the show. I already told you who I am and who these guys are. We're going to whip through some news real quick. Some points I wanted to bring up. So, one thing we didn't talk about yet, there was a great three-way on Raw: Styles, Lee, and Riddle. For whoever won that match gets to take on the champion. And I thought it was a great match. It was a lot of fun. On Monday night, and Styles walks off the winner after. And I thought, you know, Riddle looked fantastic in that match. Anyone have any thoughts on that, Danger?
I'm glad they went with AJ. That's the natural way they should have gone. I'm glad they actually showcased those other guys. And I'm, as much as I don't like people getting hurt, I'm glad that Strowman is not going to be a factor in the match at TLC.
Yeah, Ferbs.
Yeah, I think they went the right direction with Styles. Lee and Riddle, I think there's more to that story going on with the
MVPs guys, the Hurt Business. I think they're going to do a little bit, you know, go that way with those two guys. So I'm glad that they had Styles, you know, take on McIntyre, you know, a big time main event type match.
Cool. Anybody else get a chance to see that? That was it was well worth it. Would have been my match of the week or one of them, because it was really a solid match by all the guys putting together a good three-way. And the winner gets to take on the champion, Drew McIntyre. We'll see when that happens. Another thing that happened on Monday Night Raw, Jeff Hardy took on Elias in a, what was it called, a Symphony of something, pain match or something like that.
Symphony of Destruction, I think.
Symphony of Destruction. And Jeff Hardy beats Elias. It looks like it was a close to maybe the feud he was having. But Jeff Hardy does an insane move off the top corner and looks like his head connected with the stairs as he was going through Elias through a table. And man, that was pretty scary. I sat there. They broke pretty quick after they made sure that Jeff Hardy wasn't dead. But I mean, that was dangerous. I mean, you could right there would break your neck and it would finish your career right there. Danger, you thought?
Yeah, I don't know. I understand Jeff wants to take the spots and the bumps and everything, and he thinks he owes it to everybody, and that one was just too close. You got the table right up near the stairs there, and it was too close for call. There's no reason to even be doing that.
It's just a miracle he didn't knock himself out when doing the Swanton bomb and hitting his head. I mean, when his head hit the steel steps, it was a loud thud.
Yeah, and he may have been concussed after that. We're really not sure right now what happened, but hopefully Jeff Hardy's okay and just got to be careful. But there wasn't much room between between what he was landing on and the steps, and the steps should have been moved sometime during the match. But hopefully Jeff Hardy's good. Some other news, Ring of Honor has announced that they're going to be having the Final Battle pay-per-view on December 18th. We've got two matches set up so far, Jay Briscoe versus EC3, which is exciting because Jay Briscoe is Ring of Honor, and EC3, coming in there, wants to prove, you know, he's the man. And we also got Roosh versus Brody King for the Ring of Honor World Championship. That's December 18th. I'm sure there'll be more matches added to that as we get closer. WWE announced signing a bunch of wrestlers on WWE.com this week. A few of standouts were two of the guys from the Rascals from TNA. Who's missing? Miguel, was it?
Trey Miguel, which actually brings me to, I saw some stuff he was doing with a few people that had been on the AEW Dark shows. I don't know if Lady Frost, if a lot of you guys are familiar, but she's been on a lot on the independent scenes and an AEW Dark. He was traveling with her and her husband this past week, so maybe Trey Miguel is going AEW.
All right, well, Trey Miguel was always the singles push on Impact. Of the three guys, he would get the single matches. So, you know, he was a good, he's a great wrestler. So look for a bunch of new blood being inserted into WWE. Unfortunately, longtime pro wrestler Jimmy Rave announced his retirement over the weekend, last weekend, after having his left arm amputated. Rave wrote via social media that he tried to tough out a medical issue with his left arm. By the time he went to a doctor, it was determined that he had an infection that was severe enough that his arm had to be amputated. Jimmy Rave, I remember seeing Jimmy Rave in Ring of Honor, great wrestler. Definitely a loss to the business because he worked with Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and he was all over the place. And it's kind of a bummer, you know. I mean, he was a good dude. And, man, you lose your arm, I guess you can't wrestle anymore. Yeah. Anyone have any thoughts on Jimmy Rave? Anyone?
Not really sure of who he is, but just a quick plug real quick on just a few things. Tonight, Saturday, GCW Game Changer Wrestling has a show going on called Slime Season. It'll be free on YouTube. Also, if you have IWTV, it'll be streaming there. They were originally supposed to be having the show in Vegas with fans and stuff, but with coronavirus kicking it to the curb, a lot of it is they're taking donations for the guys to support them. So if you get a chance, donate Game Changer Wrestling. And then also the Super J Cup December 12th, which will have a nice card and a lot of guys that you heard of before, like Chris Bay, Leo Rush, ACH, TJP, then also Blake Christian from Game Changer Wrestling. So big fan of that promotion. So take a look out for that.
Okay, some other.
Check out IWTV. There's something else coming soon that we can probably talk about next week on the show too.
Ooh, so, teases.
You tease.
All right, real quick.
I may have
busted out a headset this week for the first time in 8 or 9 months. So.
Oh, nice. That'd be pretty cool. We'll definitely talk about that next week. 2020 WWE Slammy Awards have been confirmed to air later this month on the WWE Network. There's no word on the exact date for the Slammy Awards, but a new graphic for the WWE Network confirms that the ceremony will air in December. The WWE Slammy Awards have not been aired since 2015. WWE aired the year-end awards in 2018 and 19. I think that's very cool. And there will also be a new Broken Skull Sessions episode with WWE Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's going to be interviewing WWE Hall of Famer Bill Goldberg, as well as Drew McIntyre and Asuka. And we'll see if how long we can understand Asuka. That would be interesting. This Sunday, December 6th, on the Fox Network, WWE's Tribute to the Troops will air. Look for it. It's going to be, looks like it's going to be at 4:30, and probably after a football game, I'm guessing. With them,
yeah. There's a split. If you have an early game, which I believe we do, it'll be airing at 4:30. If you have a late game, I think it airs at 3:00.
Okay, so that very cool with that. They do that. It's a wonderful thing they do every year, and I know they taped it already, so we'll get to see some of WWE superstars. It says right here, it says the men and women, including servicemen and women and their families from the Marine Corps Air Station, New River, USA Army Post, Fort Hood, and the U.S. Naval Aircraft Carrier, USS John C. Stennis, and the Naval Air Station Fallon and Naval Air Weapon Station China Lake. So they're going to be all over the place touring up and supporting our troops, which is very, very cool and very needed at this time. One last piece of news before we get out of here. The new WWE Undefeated mobile game was officially launched on Thursday. The mobile fighting game is now available on iOS as well as Android devices. It features The Rock, Undertaker, Seth Rollins, The Fiend, Raw Tag Team Champion Kofi Kingston, Universal Champion Roman Reigns, and WWE Champion Drew McIntyre, among others. AJ Styles is also on the roster. If you've seen, they've been promoting the game forever anyway, so if you know what I'm talking about, that it's now active, so you can download the app or whatever. I'm not sure exactly what it costs, but I think that's all the news that I have on my list that's fit to print and fit to read this week on the Pain Clinic. Man, it was a busy week, man, and we lost a legend, but we had a most incredible Wednesday night, and I cannot wait to talk about what happened on Impact on Tuesday night on Access TV, as well as what's going to happen on WWE NXT this weekend, as well as what's going
to
happen on.
I can't wait to see what Sting says he's going to do in AEW.
Oh yeah, Sting.
That's like the biggest question mark. He's supposed to talk.
Yeah,
so.
he's going to talk with Tony Schiavone. You got MJF versus Orange Cassidy for the Diamond Ring, because you saw Orange Cassidy win it this past week. Dustin Rhodes versus the Dark Order's 10. FTR is going to be taking on the Varsity Blondes. We get another Brian Pillman appearance. Archer, you mentioned it earlier. Archer, Penta.
Final.
Yeah. You get to see the Butcher and the Blade, Eddie Kingston versus those guys. Abaddon debuts, I guess. Abaddon in action. And Jericho's ultimatum to the Inner Circle is all going to happen next week on AEW. We will see you next week. I want to thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you so much for talking wrestling. And we'll see you next week, folks. Same bat time, same bat channel. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Fox Sports.